believe it or not, for the rottenest sinner there is, he stayed there. Now, they might not have accepted him, or they might not have accepted him yet, but there's still an opportunity. Amen? If they're still alive and they're still have a little bit of sense in their head, they'll understand that Christ Jesus is the only answer for their sin. Amen. Well, I want you to take your Bible with me tonight, please, if you would. And let's look in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Paul, and it seems to be that there is a group of churches in the area of Galatia. It's not just necessarily that it's one church. And this seems to be the area, as we went through, if you remember when we're studying in the book of Acts, Paul went to the area of Galatia. He talks about going, you know, to that area and preaching. And it seems like that just according to history and from what the historians say, that he didn't just establish one church, but there were probably several churches in that area, because it's a rather large area, and that this letter is written to them, to all of them as a group, because they seem to have a common issue. And when you go through and you read the book of Galatians, you see that Paul is pointing out that there's some problems there. We'll talk about that maybe here in just a few minutes. But as he's talking to them about the issues that are going on in the church, Paul again is dividing his writing up into, like he does many of the other epistles that he writes, he kind of divides it into some sections that make some sense. I mean, when you read it, and there's six chapters in Galatians, it's split up for us in six chapters, not that Paul necessarily wrote six, but the fellows that devised the chapter system in the Bible, that's the way they divided it, and it kind of makes sense the way they did it. In the first two chapters, when you look in the first two chapters of the book of Galatians, Paul is simply there defending his stand in the gospel. He defends the Word of God and the preaching of the gospel. And, you know, we still need to do that today. And the reason he was having to do that then was because there were people that were supposed to be saved, had been there under that ministry when Paul came through, but now somebody's come along and tried to give them some, yeah, but here's something else you need to know kind of doctrine. You know, they've brought in something else, and they've tried to blend the law with grace. They've tried to put those two things together, but guess what? They don't fit. So that's why I say in the first couple of chapters, you see that Paul writes and defends the gospel. Because can I tell you, man, there's nothing like the gospel. I mean, we know, and the folks that are there, we would call them Judaizers. They try to switch the church back to the Jewish thinking and the Jewish system of religion. And in the Old Testament economy, I mean, man, you think about that. Why do you think the book of Hebrews was written? It was because Jesus was better than what there was before. So Paul, in the first couple of chapters there in Galatians, does a similar thing and says, look, here's what was the law, and here's grace, and let me tell you, why in the world are y'all trying to jump ship and get into this? You know, why are y'all coming out of that and trying to go over back to where you were? Because Paul will say throughout the writing in the book of Galatians, you don't want to go back into bondage. You don't go back into bondage is found under the law. And you know, we have folks today that are similarly minded. They say, like I was saying this morning, there's something you got to do. You know, you've got to follow this, A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, do like I do, and all that kind of stuff. And Paul's saying, look, we're talking about grace. We're talking about the grace of God. So And that is the gospel, as a matter of fact, the gospel of grace. So Paul talks about that in the first couple of chapters. Chapters 3 and 4, he takes it a little bit further and he gives an explanation of the gospel. I mean, in the beginning, as I say, he defends who he is and what, you know, what God told him and the preaching he's done. And then as it gets in chapters 3 and 4, he begins to explain a little bit more about the gospel. He begins to make it where, you know, if you didn't understand it before, let's see if you can understand it now. And I think sometimes that is a problem with some people. They really, you know, and how soon do most of us forget the things we've heard? I mean, we can hear something and we're all, you know, and then in a little while it's like, well, I forgot that. I mean, I forgot about hearing that. But it's just a reminder. You know, sometimes we need a good gospel reminder. So Paul does that in chapters 3 and 4. And as you get kind of to the end of chapter number 4, Paul tells them a story that all the Jewish people know. And probably, you know, most of them had a little bit of insight into, and it's the story of Abraham and his two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, Hagar and Sarah. I mean, he begins to tell that story, and he said that story is an allegory that helps explain the gospel. And then he goes into, you know, a little bit about that, how that anybody that is associated with the law is associated with the bondwoman, Hagar, and her son Ishmael. And they're outside of the real perfect will of God, outside of what God said he wanted to do, outside of the plan of God. You're outside of that. He said, but I want to tell you about a free woman. And he talks about the free woman, and he never really mentions those names very much, but he just talks about the free and the one of bondage, the two different ideas. And he said those that are freeborn, he said, well, verse number 30 there in chapter number 4, he said, nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman with her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Amen. He says, look, so then, brethren, we're not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. He said, if you're saved by grace, then you're free. I mean, you don't have the bondage of, I got to do, I got to perform, I've got to act and do and have such a way. So he gets into that explanation in chapter 5, and that's what we want to look at, if you will. But in chapters 5 and 6, he goes back to his standard closing type idea after he has defended the gospel, after he's explained the gospel. Now he says, let's put some shoes on it and let's apply the gospel. Let's make the gospel, let me tell you what it does in your everyday life. What the gospel should look like in the everyday life of a Christian. So he does that in chapters 5 and 6. There's a lot of good stuff in those two chapters, and if you read them, and you have read them in time past, then you know some of the great thing, particularly in chapter number 5, in the latter part, where he talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And, man, that gets good. We're not going to look at that. We're not going to look at that. We're going to look at the very first part of it, where he has pushed forward and thought on and talked on about this idea of being a child that is free, a child of God that's free indeed. That's what I want to preach to you tonight, about living free in Jesus Christ. Living free in Jesus Christ. Look in verse number 1. Paul says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now that was a big deal to those guys that were there trying to convince those Galatians, those Gentile people. They were saying, oh, well, if you're going to get this thing right, you got to be circumcised. You got to be. I mean, that's just all there is to you. Got to, and they're putting them back under the law. So Paul says, look, he said, you're not going to get entangled in that bondage again. He said, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. He said, I want you to get that. He said, I want you to know I said it. Paul said, I want you to know I, Paul. Hey, this is me talking. Because it seems like there had been some people there that had said, well, now, Paul believes this. And Paul says, let me straighten that out in a hurry. And let me tell y'all what the truth really is. He said, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, he said, Christ shall profit you nothing. He said, look, it doesn't work together. Grace and the law won't go together. He said, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. If you want to go with that, he says, then you better get ready to start doing the do's and don't doing the don'ts. Amen? Hey, and he said, you better get ready. He said, Christ has become of no effect unto you. He said, the Lord doesn't, he doesn't mean anything. That if this is right, then you don't need Jesus. You don't, there's no, he said, he's of no effect. It just doesn't matter. He said, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, don't get all mixed up on that little phrase. There are a lot of folks hear that word, oh, we're talking about falling from grace. He said, if you decide you want to go back under the law, then you surely are not under grace. You've fallen from the lofty heights of grace. You've fallen from the glories that there is in the grace of God. And you're back down here in the bondage of the law. He said, if that's what you want to do. He said, but let me explain it to you a little bit further. And let me make some application for you. He says, for we, in verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Amen. I'm not looking for the law. I'm not looking for me to do. I'm not looking to jump through hoops and cross lines and do all that stuff. Thank God my trust is in Jesus. My righteousness is by faith in Him. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Listen there in verse number 7. He said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening. Thank you again for your word. I pray, just give us your wisdom. Give us some insight. Help us with the word of God tonight. Show us some things we need to hear, some ways that you set us free. And Lord, just let us just be glad of the liberty that we enjoy in Christ Jesus tonight. And again, we will just simply thank you, give you praise. And if there's somebody here that needs to be saved, draw them to you by that amazing, marvelous grace. And we'll love you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, I want to preach to you about living free in Christ Jesus. I want us to understand we can live free. And I'm talking about free from all of this stuff that Paul's talking about. He says in verse number 1 there, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Amen? I mean, you know, a long time ago in American history, most of us had studied that stuff, or we hung around school and they made us listen to it anyway, didn't they? Where they said there was a fellow by the name of Patrick Henry. And if you remember, one of his greatest speeches and his impassioned words were this: "Give me liberty or give me death." I mean, he was making a stand there with the people of these United States in the day when they were trying to break free from the tyranny of England, and they had no representation. They were getting taxed, but they didn't have anybody to represent their causes or their pleas with the King of England. So he said, "I tell y'all what, I'd rather be dead and not have to live with that king and be under that king and all that." He said, "But you can give me liberty or you can give me death. That's the two things that I'd rather choose." Amen. Can I tell you, it's not so, maybe so dramatic in Jesus, but I can tell you this: you and I can have liberty and freedom in Him. And let's look at maybe three things, if you will, and try to talk about some things that Paul talks about here in this living free in Christ. First of all, I want you to see this, that Paul says, look there in verse number 7, 8, and 9. Paul says this. He's looking at them and he said, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." And then he says, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Amen? First of all, I want you to notice this. That Paul says, "Look, I got in and I'm going to stay in for the long haul. I'm in this thing for the long haul of being a child of God. I'm in this for the long haul, y'all. I didn't get in it to get started and quit." And that's almost what it sounds like that Paul is saying to them. He said, "Look," he said, you did run well. You started out good. I mean, you've had an excellent start. Can I tell you, there's a lot of folks I've seen that had a pretty good start, but I'm telling you, where are they tonight? Where are they on Sundays? Where are they on Wednesdays? Where are they when something happens and God's dealing in lives and hearts and working and doing as He wants to? Hey, brother, we look around and you're like, man, where did they go? Hey, they've gotten all messed up and they started out good. But brother, it's not just about how you start. Thank God I'm in it for the long haul. I want to have a good finish. I want to finish this. I want to be like Paul. Paul said, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept faith." He said, "There's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. I'm ready to cross the finish line with Jesus. I'm in it for the long haul." Amen? And that's what Paul, I believe, you can kind of get out of this. He says, "Look, first of all," he said, "let's look at your past in this long haul." He said, "You did run well." As I said, a lot of people started out good. A lot of people got on this thing. They got in and boy, they's on fire. They's charged up. But again, you can't find them now with a search warrant sometimes. And I know folks get discouraged and I know things happen and I know personality conflicts and I understand every bit of that kind of stuff. Can I tell you, for most of us, if we let that kind of thing bother us, we'd probably be at the house sitting there watching TV and sucking our thumb right now. Amen. I mean, that's where a lot of us would be, right? We'd be there. We'd say, "Well, I quit. I give up. And I give up." And I know. I understand. I see there's people that are discouraged. And it stinks. I think it's a rotten thing when somebody that's supposed to be a Christian offends another Christian and says some things to them and hurts their feelings and does all kinds of stupid stuff to them. Hey, I believe that happens, don't you? Amen? And Paul says, "Look, you guys started out good in this thing." He said, "But who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" I mean, look at that. He said, "Look at your past record. You started out good. You started out straight. You started out on the truth." Can I tell you, I know a lot of churches tonight that started out well, but now they've gotten so far out into left field that, man, you don't know what in the world they believe. I've seen some of them. You look at them, and you can go to them. You say, "Hey, how's your church?" "Oh, buddy, we've got the stage, we've got the lights, we got the smoke, we got the mirrors, we got all the jazzmatazz and all the cheerleaders and everything." And you're like, "What in the world? Y'all used to be gun barrel straight. What happened?" Amen. Well, you did run well. What in the world happened to you? I mean, look back at the past. You did run well. I mean, there's some of them, and there's people today that are changing their mind on the Word of God. And it surprises me. I've been around some folks, and I've talked with them and known them in time past, and they were like, "Boy, yeah, hallelujah, I'm in there with that. I believe that Word said that." And now you talk to them, "Well, maybe that's not exactly what that means, preacher." Oh, my, you better not back up from this. You did run well. I mean, Paul is taking a look back, and I know he's looking back and saying, "Look, I came in there, and I came in there with the gospel, and I came in there with the real truth. I came in there," and you'll see that he says in some other places, he said, "I didn't preach anything to y'all other than what was given to me. Hey, all I got is the Word of God, and that's all I got to give to you." Amen. I don't know what folks think that they want you to do today sometime, but I'm telling you, hey, we've got the Word of God. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek." There's nothing else that can help. Paul, you know, again, in this writing a little bit earlier, he said, "If I or an angel from heaven come down and we preach any other gospel than the one that you've heard, we're in trouble." So you better be careful when somebody shows up and says, "Oh, we got a new word. We got a new gospel. We've written us a new Bible. We got some, it don't say what yours does. We took some out. We stuck some in." You better watch that kind of stuff. They might have started out good, but buddy, now they've run off the rails. Amen? So Paul said, "Look, let's take a look at your past." But not only that, he said, let's look at your present. He said, "You did." That's the past. "You did run up. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" What? Let's look at now. What's wrong with y'all today? He's saying, What has changed, and who has changed you? What's changed? Can I tell you that I still believe that this is the infallible, inerrant, eternal Word of God? Oh, there's people that say, "Preacher, don't you think there's some errors in your Bible?" Any errors that I find in my Bible are the errors that men have made. Amen. That's the only errors I can find in there. They say, "Well, you know, this don't match that." And all that. Listen, I there's a whole lot of stuff in there I don't absolutely understand. I mean, I ain't got it all figured out, y'all. Don't, you know, people come to you sometimes, they say, "Well, you're a preacher. You ought to be able to tell me that." I'll tell you, I ain't got it all figured out yet. But you know what? I still believe it all. I still believe, as I said, this is an inerrant, infallible, eternal, unchangeable Word from heaven. Amen. Paul said, "Look, what happened?" He said, "You started out good." He said, "But man, what's come along? Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Who has come in and hindered the cause of the gospel? Well, I'll tell you, the biggest problem is with the devil. You know, he wants to hinder the course and the power and the cause of the gospel. He wants to come in. And brother, he's doing it. I mean, he's doing his dead level best. He's in there trying to do the very best thing that he can. And that is to confuse. That's to confound. That's to mix things up. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, what denomination is right?" Well, let me just tell you this. I am a Baptist, and I've always been a Baptist, and it's because I believe that the Baptists follow this book closer than anybody else. So what I mean by that is that one of these days the Baptists might say something, and the Baptists will be wrong, but I'm still going to hang on to the Word of God and trust it. Amen? I'm still going to believe in that. Let me see if I can find this. Let me go over here and grab my phone, and y'all, I'll make a phone call while y'all are doing something busy over there. Well, I probably won't do that. But let me read you this little thing that I found this afternoon. The name of it is, it's a little poem called Preach On. It says, if you're preaching from the Bible, well, preach on. If you're longing for revival, preach on. Preach on sin and condemnation. Preach for sinners his salvation. Preach to Christians consecration, but brother, preach on. If your sermon's from the Lord, then preach on. Never mind if some look bored, just preach on. If the devil looks down upon it, if the critics frown upon it, many souls depend upon it, so just preach on. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm just going to hang in here and I'm just going to preach on. I'm going to stand with this one. Paul said, boys, y'all started out good, but what in the world has got you off track in the present day? I'll tell you, we've got so many that's got so smart, so educated, they think they know more than God and they're trying to straighten out his book. Can I tell you, I ain't got that smart yet. And Lord willing, I'll never get into that category. Brother, I just want to see what he's got to say. I'm going to do my best to preach what he said. I'm going to stand with the eternal word of God. I'm going to preach it on. Preach it on. Amen? Amen. Hey, it'll work, won't it? Hey, this thing is settled when the world's on fire. Amen? So Paul looks at their past. He said, you did start out pretty good. What in the world's happened to you? He looked at their present. What's got you off course? And then he looks at their position in verses 8 and 9. Listen to what he says. He said, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. He said, there is nobody that he said, the Lord didn't mess you up. The Lord didn't change his mind. God hadn't changed his word. Can I tell y'all that? Oh, a long time ago when I first started in pharmacy, some of y'all probably heard, they had this book called the PDR. The PDR was the physician's desk reference. You might have been in your doctor's office and you've seen one of these big old books on his table. The PDR was basically, we called it the Bible of prescription medicines. The physician's desk reference. In other words, it had all the drugs. I mean, man, it had everything in there, all the drugs that there was. But you know what happened about two or three times a year? They would send you an addendum to put in there. As a matter of fact, we had them in these loose leaf folder type things, big loose leaf folder, and they'd send you a little paper that went with it. And boy, it's just about like you had to be an engineer to operate on that sometimes. But you get that thing open, and it'd say, remove pages 12, 13, and 14. And you're going through there, pulling. It says, now replace them with these new pages that are, you know, the same number. And you're pulling them out, and you're putting them in, and you think, well, what's wrong? Something changed. Something happened. Something changed. There were some new warnings. There were some new uses for the medicine. There was something had changed. And you'd go through, and I'd say, now flip over to page 200 and whatever. You'd go over there and take them out, put these in, and you'd go through that. And you had to make them changes about two or three times a year. They'd say, well, in the world of medicine, things change. Aren't you glad in the Word of God, nothing changes? Nothing changes. Hey, Paul says here as he's writing to these folks, he said, I want you to know, man, he said, you ran well. Somebody's hindered you from the truth. He said, and I'm telling you, this persuasion did not come from God himself. God didn't do this to you. God didn't. Hey, his position is always the same. God ain't changed his mind about sin. God ain't changed his mind about salvation. God ain't changed his mind about hell or heaven. God has not changed his mind about anything. He's still holy. He's still high above every one of us. And he's still the only way you're going to get to heaven is by trusting Jesus Christ, his son. Amen? So Paul talks about their position. But look what he says in verse number 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Can I tell you, it don't take much error to get in to foul up everything. Just a little bit. And that's all the devil wants. He just wants to get in just a little bit. And if he can edge his way in just a little ways, he'll blow the whole thing up. He'll try to explode that. He'll try to get in there and take advantage of whatever he can. And I believe that's why we've got where we are today. Amen. I remember, and I probably told y'all this before, but I remember going to a college graduation. And we got in there and you're sitting down and, you know, all these people come in and they're all dudeed up. And they get everybody sat down. And they say, and now, from our Department of Divinity, Dr. Babbling Running Mouth is going to come and pray. And I'm like, well, okay, here we go. So whoever, they get up there, and they begin to pray. And I'm like, well, let's just see what this is going to be. Oh, magnificent one that's out there somewhere. And they begin talking about out in the vast expanse and all of that. And they never once mentioned God. They never once mentioned that he's the Father. They never once mentioned his Son, Jesus. They just keep praying about, oh, you're there somewhere and all this blah, 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 blah. Amen. That's why there's Dr. Babbling Brook there. I'm telling you. I mean, just babbled on and on for all. And I thought, my goodness gracious. I was about ready to get up and give an invocation myself, amen? I mean, listen, I knew better than that. But, you know, there was no indication that that person had a clue who God was. And isn't that sad to think that they're from the Department of Divinity, the school is supposed to be teaching, and that's who's teaching our young folks today Bible and teaching them about preaching and about being missionaries and about theology. And if you've got that, sometimes you've got a mess, amen? I'm just telling you, we don't need that kind of confusion today, amen? I'm just saying, look, it don't take much wrong to get in and blow the whole thing out of proportion. You just let a little sliver of something get in there, and pretty soon everybody's, oh, I have never heard anything like that in my life. And that's what I'm saying. I ain't never heard no mess like that in my life. Amen. I'm just telling you, friend. Hey, Paul says here, look. He said it don't take but a little, just a little leaven. Most of you ladies know that. You get ready to make a pan of bread, or if you're going to make, you know, the sourdough, it don't take a whole lot of that yeast stuff to get in there to make it rise. Amen. Hey, you can blow it. You know what that does? It's just a bunch of air. It's just a bunch of air to blow it up and puff it up, and it took what you had as a solid mass, and it's blowed it up, and it makes it look bigger. Amen. Amen. Hey, isn't that what it is? It's just blowed it up. You ever done that? Cut into a big old thing of bread, and you cut into it, and all of a sudden it goes, and it goes flat. All it was full of bread, full of hot air. Amen. Get you a croissant. That sounds fancy, don't it? I'm eating a croissant. You're eating a lot of air mixed in with your dough there, buddy. Amen. I mean, hey, that's all it is. I'm just saying, man, it ain't worth nothing. Especially when it comes to the Word of God. And Paul is giving them this warning. So first of all, he said, look, I got in this thing. I got in it for the long haul. I'm in it to go all the way and make Jesus real in my life. Second of all, let's look at this. Second of all, he says, you need to get in and make a stand in your liberty. Look what he says beyond that. In verse number 10, he says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you'll be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. He said, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross is, see, I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. Paul is saying, I wish this bunch, their bubble would get busted on that leavening, right? That's what he's saying. But look in verse number 13. He said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. You only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. I want you to look at that with me real quick. Let's talk about that. Paul talks about liberty here in verse number 13. Now, he talked about liberty in verse number 1, right? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherefore Christ hath made us free. Liberty is when you have been set free from something, right? You're at liberty. So Paul is saying here in verse number 13, he said, you've been called unto liberty. When the Lord saved you, he did not save you to make you chained in bondage and tied up and a slave in some crazy way of somebody else's thinking. He said, but he came to set you free. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen? Oh, he said, the Son has come to set you free. Thank God, I'm glad we're free when we're in Christ Jesus. Amen? You know, so many times you read that Paul talks about how that he is a servant of Jesus Christ. But you know what he's like? But I'm glad to be a servant. I'm glad, if you will, I'm glad to be a slave to Jesus, because the kind of slave that I am, I get treated better than anybody's ever been treated in their life. He's my master, and I'm proud and thankful and glad to be his servant. Amen. That word that Paul uses as a servant is actually the word doulos. And the word doulos means a bond slave. That means he's obligated to somebody for some. But you know what? Paul said, I'm just glad to be his. Amen. Thank God, aren't you glad that you're his and that in being a slave to him, brother, there is liberty. And that's what Paul is saying. He said, look, liberty, brethren, you've been called unto liberty. First of all, I want you to notice it. Notice the design of liberty. The design of liberty, as I said, it's not to tie you down and chain you up and to have you, you got to do this, you got to do this. You know, there's a lot of folks that get that idea that Christianity is going to stifle them because, well, you just can't do what you used to do. Can I tell you, when you get saved, you don't want to do what you used to do. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are become new. He said, all the old things are passed away, and everything becomes brand spanking new. When you're in Christ, he said, there's a design to it. The design to it, as I said, it's liberty. It's to set you free. It's to get you out of that bondage. You know, we talk about that word, our redemption, and the word redemption, or the root word of redeem, it means to buy out of the slave market. Boy, sometimes you need to go back and read the story of Gomer. I mean, you need to go back in the Old Testament and read that story, and you'll see how that she was the harlot. She was the one that, boy, yeah, but aren't you glad that God touched that husband and let him go? Hey, God, let him go down there and buy her back out of that slave market. He had to sell everything he had to get rid of. But you know what? He was glad to pay the price so that he could buy her out of the slave market. Thank God Jesus did the same thing for me and you. Amen? He sold it all. He got rid of it all. He traded it all in. He came down here and he put on this robe of flesh. It said he took upon him the fashion of a man. Hey, can I tell you, he's still God, but he looked like a man. Amen? But you know what he did? He tasted death for every one of us. And he bought us out of that slave market of sin. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen? Well, praise God for that. I mean, that's the design of our freedom. But second, or the design of our liberty. Second of all, look at this. Look at the danger of this liberty. Listen to what he said. For brethren, you've been called under liberty. Look what he said. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Right here is a warning that when, you know, there's a lot of folks say, you Baptist folks believe people can be saved and then they go do whatever they want and they're saved. Well, let me just tell you, sometimes people try to use their salvation and that liberty that they have to say, I can do and be anything I want to. Oh, I beg your pardon. Bible tells us that we have a standard after we're saved of holiness. Peter wrote and said that the Lord said this, be ye holy even as I am holy. Now, you tell me that says you can go do what? Paul said, look, don't use this liberty as an occasion for your flesh. Well, a lot of folks do. They say, oh, boy, I'm saved. I can go out here and cuss and drink and fuss and fight and run around and do anything I want to. Can I tell you this? Hey, if you get right with God, you don't want to. Amen. Amen. He changes your wanner. Amen. Amen. He'll get you where you don't want all that junk. He'll get you where, hey, you know that it's wrong. Where you know that you failed him. Where you know that he's speaking to your heart and saying, hey, follow me, follow me, follow me. Amen? I believe that's what Paul, he said, look, there is some danger in this, a little danger I want to warn you about. He said, don't use this liberty as an occasion, as a crutch, an excuse, whatever you want to call it, for your flesh. Can I tell you, your flesh wants to do a lot of stuff still, don't it? Your flesh is not saved. Amen? Oh, the inside of you got saved. But this old stinking flesh, it still is flesh. And it gets stirred and it gets moved and it gets pulled, tugged and drawn and all that kind of stuff. Can I tell you, brother, you've got liberty in the Lord. But you need to be careful about your flesh getting in yourself in a mess. Amen? Because it can do it. It can do. So Paul says here, look, he said, there's the design of liberty. You're free in the Lord. You're free. You're free from your sin. You're free from your past. You're free from all that stuff. He said, but don't you use that freedom as an occasion. He says, use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But look what he says about liberty. But by love, serve one another. I want you to notice he says, but your liberty does have some duty to it. And the duty of your liberty is that you ought to love the Lord and you ought to love people. Amen? And then he's going to get into that just a little bit deeper in those next couple of verses. And notice, if you will, we'll kind of leave that. But you get in and stand in this liberty. Paul said, I got in it for the long haul. I'm getting in it and standing in the liberty. But last of all, he said, let's get in it and let's see how the love of God really works. Let's see about this love. Listen to what he says in verse number 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Well, what in the world is he talking about? Well, first of all, I think you see that he said, look, let's talk about the law of love. He says, as a matter of fact, all you law lovers, he said, let me just tell you this, that the centrality of the law, he said, for all the law is fulfilled in this one word, this one little saying, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as I said, you want to get under the law, check that out. Amen? The law says you ought to love your neighbor. You know, this, he said, this is for all you law lovers out there. Well, let me just tell you what the law says. The law doesn't say hate each other. The law doesn't say get back. The law doesn't say, you know, bite and eat and chew on it. He said, no, that's not what. The law says you ought to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law of love. That's the law. The law itself, amen, says that. And what I want you to see beyond that, even within that same verse, is this. I want you to notice the loving nature of love. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And can I make an announcement, y'all? I love my wife's husband. Amen? Y'all think about that for a minute. I love my wife. But I love her husband pretty good too. And I'll guarantee every one of you in the room are the same way. I mean, hey, you're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself. I love myself. I love myself. I feed myself at least three times a day. Somebody say amen right there. I treat myself. I say, I deserve a break today. I deserve an ice cream today. You know, we're gonna love ourselves. I mean, we try to pamper and pet and do things for ourselves, right? And Paul says here, the loving nature of love is this. You ought to love others like you love you. The way you treat you and you think you ought to be treated and the way that you pamper yourself, he said you ought to love other folks the same way. You're to love other folks the same way. He says, look, man, you've got this liberty in Christ. You're standing in this freedom. You're standing in, and man, the least thing that, he said, the law said that you're supposed to love your neighbor. He said, then you ought to be out there loving somebody like, it should just be the nature. I mean, if you're saved by the grace of God, he said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You ought to love your neighbor. You ought to love somebody. Instead of getting all this hatefulness. You see what he says here in the last part of this? He said, well, you see the loving nature of love, but let's see what happens when you lack, when you don't have the kind of love you ought to. He said, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. That's when you don't have that love that you ought to have. You just, boy, you can eat them up for lunch. Amen? A little boy going home one day and the preacher was going with him. And the preacher said, son, he said, going to your house with you? He said, yeah, I know. He said, well, do you know what we're having for lunch? And the little boy said, well, I think we're having goat. And the preacher looks around. He said, you sure? He said, well, yeah. He said, I think, Daddy said, let's have the old goat for lunch. So, woo, hallelujah. Listen, you can bite and devour each other if you're not careful. You can chew on each other. You can hate each other. You can despise. You can do all that. Brother, I'm telling you, that's not what God wants you to do. And it'll get you in this same kind of mess. And you see what Paul says right after that in verse number 16? We didn't go there, but he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. When you learn to walk and talk and give and do in love, brother, you've come a long way. And Paul said, you know, if you will, to these folks, they seem to have lost some of that because somebody's deceived them. Somebody sold them a bill of goods. Somebody's told them, oh, this is not what you need to do, something else. And Paul said, you know what I want for you more than anything? I want you to stand fast in the liberty that there is in Christ Jesus. And he says, this is what I say about that. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All those other guys were wanting them to do was satisfy the flesh and do these things for a good show and make it look good. You know, make it look like you're doing something. And you've got, and Paul says, look, if you'll just walk in the Spirit, you know, when you walk in the Spirit, what there is there, there's liberty, there is love, and there's life that comes only from Jesus Christ. Amen. So let me just ask you that tonight again. You know, how's your standing? How are you doing? Are you living free in Jesus Christ? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready and sing a verse of a song tonight. Maybe you're here and you don't realize that you've got this freedom. You don't realize what all you do have in the Lord tonight. Boy, you ought to recognize it. You ought to be thankful. You ought to be excited. You ought to be glad. You ought to be praising God for what he's done for you. Amen? I mean, he set you at liberty. You're free. You don't have to be under the bondage of anything, anybody. The devil has no hold on you.